faces from the past. You've walked past them many times. I don't think you've really looked at them. They're not that different from you, are they?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another installment of Low Bros History. My name is Jacob Lowe, and my co-host, my brother, is Henry Lowe. Yeah, I'm here, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, we're ready. We're rocking and rolling, baby.
We're going to talk about the Vikings today.
Yeah.
It's been a long-awaited. We've been trying to do it for a while, but now's the time to really rev it up and get started.
And As always, we like to begin with a little bit of an icebreaker question.
A little icebreaker.
Yeah, kind of thought of this just now, but
off the cuff.
Hit it.
We like to go off the dome sometimes. Maybe we'll freestyle every once in a while.
You know, kind of break the ice so that we can get into the topics and stuff like that. But anyway, my icebreaker question for you is, favorite Viking? I mean, do you have somebody that stands out? I mean, we did a lot of research on this.
Yeah, so. We did do a lot of research. And, you know, the thing is, there's so many different Vikings out there that I didn't even know existed. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you probably a Viking name a couple months ago. But, you know, after doing some of this research, I think one of the most fascinating, you know, hey, I'll just go with someone who's not a lot of people know.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm just for this strict fact that he inspired the name Bluetooth.
Oh,
it just blew
yeah.
my mind. The Harold the Bluetooth, who we found out actually he was a Viking who united all the Viking kingdoms. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
United like Norway. He was like King of Norway. United Norway.
Yeah, King of Norway. United Norway. And then basically they used a pagan alphabet and called runes, and that's how they got the Bluetooth logo. Mm-hmm. And Harold the Bluetooth, the guy had a Bluetooth.
Yeah. So, you know, what you're saying is so back in like, what was it, 1993?
In the 90s, yeah.
Back in the 90s. So these major cellular companies, for those of you that don't know, were wanting to merge together.
Yeah.
And like Nokia
and Ericsson.
Ericsson? I don't even know. Yeah. Anyway, it's just kind of a fascinating thing that happened.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're in the boardroom meeting, you know, talking about what, you know, how are we going to merge these companies? And then something came up about the name. You know, like, what are we going to name it? And famously, one of the people that was in the meeting was kind of a history buff.
You got to be a history buff to know about Harold the Bluetooth. I'll tell you what.
And brought up Harold the Bluetooth and how he united Norway and how, you know, these companies were trying to unite together, you know, create this other company. And it stuck. And so they created
Bluetooth. Bluetooth
is what they named their company.
I'm just saying, man, that's gotta be one of the craziest facts I've ever heard. Yeah. It's been with me. It's been hanging with me for weeks now. Up until this,
you just ripped a hole in my mind.
you just ripped a hole in my mind, bro.
Yeah.
So that's mine. I'm going with Harold the Bluetooth.
Okay.
All right. What do you got?
Huh. I'm gonna go with Ragnar Lothbrok.
Ragnar Lothbrok.
And if you're a fan of the Vikings,
the television series,
history, you'll know who I'm talking about. The reason I like him is like because nobody knows if he really actually existed or
there's
not.
A little bit of mythos around him.
So he's kind of like this legend, you know, like John Wick or, you know,
John Wick.
Like, it's like, did he exist? I don't know.
Did he exist? I think he did. I don't know.
It's Boba Yaga. And I just kind of found that fascinating because he's named in a lot of these Viking sagas.
Yeah.
Because the Vikings didn't really write anything down, didn't have a recording. But the sagas are what, kind of like an oral history or what.
Kind of like the sacred history of the Mongols in a way, kind of like a loose.
Kind of like loose interpretation. interpretation of what, but he's always mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, but yet historians don't really know if he existed. I mean,
and it's even interesting also from like a historical perspective, because, you know, you do like these, this, a lot of the cross-referencing, you know, and you're like, oh, he's mentioned here, he's mentioned here, you know, he must... something, he must have existed, but there's not a whole lot of information or evidence to even back that up. You know, it's interesting too, because you'll find out like there's been a lot of like archaeological discoveries that have uncovered things that maybe we thought weren't a big part of Viking culture that ended up being a huge thing of Viking culture, namely the slave trade and things like that. So it, you know, the thing about history is over the years historians are always, you know, uncovering new things. Archaeologists are always uncovering new things. And it's really fascinating to find out that it's like a treasure hunt sometimes, you know, sometimes you don't have all the pieces to uncover this. I mean, the Viking Age is started in the 800s, you know, that's more than 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And it, you know, sometimes when there's not a lot of documentation of certain things, it's, it, it becomes a little clouded, but we're going to get into
what
we know and what our research has. It's never let us down, and it will prove true again. And we've wanted to get into the Vikings for a while, because the Viking, who doesn't like a good Viking?
Yeah, I'll tell you.
I mean,
I know I do. I love good Viking, man.
I know I do.
You know? So, anyway, we're going to get into the topic that they settled Minnesota.
Settled Minnesota, started the first football team, believe it or not.
Believe it or not. Much more violent than today's game.
Football was played a lot differently than it was back then.
Yeah. Anyway, just... I don't know. I thought it started with a joke. Sue me.
I like the joke. I like the joke.
All right. So, let's get into it here. So, as we all know, Vikings are Scandinavians, and Scandinavia makes up Norway, Denmark, Sweden.
Yeah.
You know. So, anyway, so that's where they're from.
So, they're from Scandinavia.
But they really do, I mean, we're talking like 3 centuries.
Yeah.
You know, and they just pop onto the scene.
Yeah.
Seemingly out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And one of what, you know, it's kind of hard to pinpoint, you know, historically speaking, you know, what was the exact moment. You
know? Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes when, you know, in history, events are just as important as dates. So sometimes you have to look at events to find, to pinpoint the date.
Ooh.
You know.
I like that.
So, yeah, don't give me too much credit. I was watching Sahara the other day with Matthew McConaughey, and they said that. So
that's a good movie. It's a good movie.
It's a good movie, but, you know, don't take me seriously. Please don't. But, yeah, and the event that happened was this raid at Lindisfarne.
Right. And now, Lindisfarne was, what was Lindisfarne?
It was a monastery, a holy site in England, Kingdom of Northumbria. Now, like back then, okay, for those of you that don't know, England was not a united kingdom.
Right.
It had all these different kingdoms that, you know, carved out their own little piece of territory. And we're often at war with each other, you know, over just petty stuff.
Yeah. Someone hid the remote.
Yeah, someone hid the remote.
Someone ate all the ho-hos.
You know, sick stuff.
Sick stuff.
Anyway. But it's a monastery.
Yeah.
And it's a holy site and, you know.
Undefended site as well.
Yeah.
The monastery monks aren't packing heat.
No.
They
would later, though. No.
They would. Later, you will find out that they did.
Yeah. But, and the reason why it was undefended is because nobody really thought that anybody would dare attack the place at all.
Yeah. Because it's like a holy site. I mean, in a lot of people's eyes, and especially in England and the kingdoms around England, I mean, this is a holy site. There had to be some kind of like boundaries. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, whoa, okay, you know, we'll sack your city, but we're not going to go, you know, burn your church down or something, you know?
Yeah. Cloudy morals.
Yeah. We're not cloudy morals. But the Vikings, they were like these foreigners. Yeah. You know, they didn't have the same like paradigm that these like England kingdoms had. And,
No. And the thing is they just, they seemingly just come out of nowhere. They lay waste to the monastery, you know, kill the monks, take others as slaves, and really just...
I mean, just take over.
Just take over, and then they just disappear.
Yeah.
They go back.
Yeah, I think we were talking about it one time when you were talking about how it's almost like a UFO out of nowhere and a bunch of aliens just like vaporized a city and just disappeared into oblivion.
Yeah. And that, and honestly, it, you know, yeah, that's a crazy, you know, but it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
In a way, like nobody knew that they even existed.
Yeah.
Nobody knew where they were from.
Yeah.
And then boom, you know, your monastery gets attacked.
Yeah. And this kind of stuff sends shockwaves
throughout Europe.
I mean, word spreads, you know, like who the heck are the Vikings? Who are these
people?
Who
are these mysterious Norsemen in their long ships, you know?
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know. So people were, it was, that attack at Lindisfarne was, you know, obviously brutal and violent, but it also had a psychological impact.
Yeah.
But nobody really did anything to try to defend. And what we'll come to find later is King Alfred the Great of Wessex was really the one to actually take matters into his own hands, you know, build forts along the coast and kind of...
Take these Vikings seriously.
Yeah.
Because they're definitely like a huge problem.
Because I think back then, I mean, we're talking about Christian Europe, so, you know, there's a lot of... Well, God is going to protect us, you know,
from
these pagans.
Right. You know.
So we don't really have anything to fear.
until a bunch of Vikings come out of the water with some axes.
Yeah, and just, you know, go to...
Just go to town.
Go to town.
just have a heyday on some on this monastery.
And Lindisfarne was a really successful raid for the Vikings.
Yeah.
You know, now there's a common misconception here. When we say Viking, it just refers to sea pirates.
Right, right. Because not all Scandinavians were Vikings, which is something I didn't know
prior to this.
And it's something that maybe when you think of Vikings, you think of, Scandinavia. It's like, no. Actually, the Vikings were a very small piece of Scandinavia. These, like, mostly made up of, you know, these successful Scandinavian merchants and, you know, kind of well-to-do, you know, working class. I mean, picture, you know, working class America in the 1940s, you know, just like good people, you know, and then you got the Vikings kind of taking over.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's kind of like describing an activity, you know, to go Viking.
You're
going out raiding.
Dude, it's crazy. That's how they talk about pirates, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you go pirate.
Yeah.
You know, you just turn full-blown pirate.
Yep.
You know.
And the attack at Lindisfarne was really, really successful.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally hit the jackpot, the treasure trove. You know? Because all of, you know, the gold and stuff like that, religious, you know, would be sent to monasteries.
Yeah.
You know. And that goes back to, you know, Christendom and, you know, basically the idea of trying to pay your way to heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they started it, but they started targeting like monasteries from that point on too, right?
That became the, like, the go-to target. They knew that they were undefended and they also knew that they had a lot of wealth.
Yeah.
So why not?
And as we discussed also in the Apache podcast, how, you know, the Native Americans would only raid for economic gain. It was never like an act of war, although some nations, I'm sure, took it as an act of war. But, you know, the Vikings were always raiding as an act of economic sustainability, mm-hmm. you know, and they even would raid their own Scandinavian cities and merchants mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah. Birka is a famous Scandinavian town, but it was also really, really a big trading hub.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's what we figure out about the Vikings is they're like one of the, like a handful of civilizations that actually ventured out, you know,
yeah,
these vast, I mean, they had trading networks and, you know, the Middle East, Mediterranean, you know, then discovering America.
Right. Yeah. <know? laughs> I know. And you're going to find that out later, which is an insane story in and of itself.
Yeah. And you know, you're probably thinking like, well, why is this so significant? Well, you know, you're talking about, excuse me, the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
I mean,
800s.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're born, you know, and then you venture out and you work and you live your life, da 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 da, but that's like 10 miles from your original birthplace.
Yeah, you don't go very far.
Yeah, and yet here are these Scandinavians.
Yeah, you're not
literally
going
halfway around the world.
Yeah, you're not taking summer trips to Costa Rica
yeah.
with your soccer team.
Exactly.
You know, you're not traveling the country. You're being born and you're dying in within a 10-mile radius.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you'll find out also that these Vikings were, you know, they burst onto the scene and they're almost appear as these, you know, raiding marauders, but they have these ships and technology that it was able to, you know, launch them mm-hmm. into places that nobody had ever ventured before.
Yeah.
You know, or will for another 500 or so years. So
yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
And they not only raided in England, but also Scotland, Ireland, and, you know, again, holy sites were the target.
Yeah.
Specifically, the Isle of Portland along the Dorset coast
mm-hmm.
in 789.
Right.
Where they targeted the holy sites of Ionia. And their main goal when raiding is to look for treasure, silver, things like that.
And they also, like, took slaves, right?
But they also took slaves, which, you know, and this wasn't until recently, you know, that people didn't really understand like how big the slave trade was in Viking culture.
Yeah. It was almost the source of their wealth in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know.
And they would take slaves, sell slaves. It was very very
you need some water, bro?
Need some water? Very lucrative for them. Because it's an asset. So
yeah, I mean, they also there was a famous guy who actually went to go visit one of the Viking nations, and they dug up like the, you know, they found like some mm-hmm. you know, bones and things like that, yeah. And it almost led, and what it led archaeologists to believe was that they were doing human sacrifice as well.
Yeah,
and the belief was that they would sacrifice the slave after their owner had died.
Yeah.
So that they can, quote unquote, you know, serve them in the afterlife. And
yeah,
it opens up a gruesome picture of, mm-hmm. you know, Viking culture that you yeah. otherwise would not have known.
And yeah, they really were gruesome, and they didn't really treat their slaves, you know,
yeah,
as anything other than furniture.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that sounds horrible.
Plow the field, spread the manure.
Yeah.
That whole deal.
And, when you go into Viking beliefs, their religion, you know, it was often said that there is no greater sacrifice to Odin, the Allfather, than
right.
human sacrifice.
Yeah. Thor's dad, for all you Marvel fanatics out there.
Yeah, yeah. Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins, believe it or not, was a Viking.
He's Thor.
Yeah.
But yeah, they would take and they would treat them brutally. And it was a whole mess.
Yeah.
But the question you're probably wondering is, why?
Yeah.
What was the motivation to venture out so far from their homeland?
Right. And yeah. What is that?
There has to be some sort of motivation.
Right.
Now, scholars don't know why. They don't know why.
But they dipped out of Scandinavia, like...
Yeah. But there were many theories. Some cite overpopulation.
Yeah.
As one, you know, getting a little bit too crowded here.
Yeah. Hey, can you move to the left, buddy? I'm trying to breathe here.
Yeah.
Need some elbow room. So elbow room was one possible theory.
Possible. Political instability. And, you know, for those of you that you know, don't know, Vikings would actually attack each other. Birka was kind of a prime example because it was such a wealthy trading port city that they would actually have to fend off from Vikings
from
time to time.
Oh, here comes the Vikings again.
Oh man, what a pain, man.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we're crying about no Wi-Fi and these guys are trying to fight off a bunch of angry marauders.
Mm-hmm.
Times have changed.
But then there's another theory that it was basically just a bunch of people that wanted a new place to live.
Mm-hmm.
And
sometimes the grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah, and wanted to do something else, whether that be participating in trading and being a wealthy merchant or raiding, basically like seek my fortune.
Yeah. And also, I mean, Scandinavia is a pretty tough gig to try to stick it out in the winters there. There's not a whole lot there. Picture Nebraska, really. You know, nobody wants to live in Nebraska.
Absolutely.
No, I'm just kidding. Unless you live in Nebraska, then that's okay.
Yeah, then that changes the game.
But you know,
don't send hate mail, please. Yeah. You disrespect Nebraska on my your podcast.
Hate mail goes to me. No, yeah. But so you know, the thing is though, they wanted to get out. They wanted to get out. I mean, they got all this crazy technology, mm-hmm. and they got everything they need to, you know, get out of here.
Yeah.
And you know, a couple of them actually ventured pretty far.
Yeah.
And you know, especially you know, some notable Vikings like King Rollo,
mm-hmm.
you know, went down to France.
Eric the Red. For all you like Vikings television series fans, Ragnar.
Ragnar Lothbrok.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, so there's just this, just to find a better life.
Yeah.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
And their technology helped them a lot.
Yeah.
So the way that they would, and part of that is how they built their ships.
Right.
And, you know, because these ships, now there are two different types of ships.
Right.
One specifically for war, going out, raiding, and then another one that was just specifically meant for trading.
Yeah.
The difference being, you know, the trading ships would just have more room for cargo.
Right.
And these ships were very well designed. I mean, a lot of thought went into how they constructed them.
Right.
And they would have these shallow drafts that would allow them to sail upriver.
Yeah.
If they needed to.
Right.
So, through rivers and
so they can go from, like, the big ocean waves, and then they can just go down these little streams and pop up next to a village and just completely like throw everybody off.
Yeah.
And you know, that kind of, because
nobody's expecting a ship to sail down a river,
especially of that size.
Yeah.
And that, and
it allowed them, because of these shallow drafts, it also allowed them to harbor.
Yeah.
Like anchor. When a harbor wasn't available. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
You know, so they would literally just, and then
drop the anchor, jump out with a bunch of axes and get to town. But that really worked well with their, and the thing that interested me so much about the Vikings was their tactic, you know, of the hit and run tactic. It's very Native American-esque, Apache-like, come out of nowhere, bam, bam, bam. Get them all and then hop back on the ship, head back to Scandinavia.
Yeah. And the way that they designed their ship is they used the clinker method.
Okay.
So ships back then were designed
mm-hmm.
where the planks would be like on top of one another.
Right, right.
But what the clinker method is, they built their ships with the wooden planks overlapping one another. So this allowed it to be extremely durable.
Right.
Especially when sailing on the ocean.
Yeah. So it made it sturdy enough for them to withstand those huge waves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. But also with the shallow draft could also go down a river.
Yeah.
Living in a van down Living by in the a river. Van down by the river. Anyway, but yeah, this unique ship allows them to explore territory that otherwise traditional ship
would not have otherwise been able to make.
To even make the journey.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
Yeah.
And survive it.
Yeah.
And also access, you know, far inland as yeah. well.
Yeah.
And come across different towns, different villages
yeah.
that they could either raid or engage peacefully in trading.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about how they did explore and how they did kind of use these ships to their ability, not only for, you know, their tactic of their raiding tactics, but how did they use these ships to even go far and beyond what any Viking would have even imagined at that time, or anybody for that matter?
It's just pretty crazy, honestly, mm-hmm. when you think about it. These ships also could go relatively fast. Now, the way that the clinker method only works,
yeah,
when the ship is small.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, you can't build like a frigate using yeah. the clinker method. You're gonna have to use more traditional ship building techniques on that one. But they could also by sail and also being powered by oars, they could reach 15 knots.
Is that pretty fast back then?
Pretty fast. I mean, 15 knots, 17 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Pretty fast.
On sea, I mean, yeah. In the water, that's pretty fast.
Yeah. So
faster than your average crew team down at OSU, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to OSU war team.
shout out to OSU crew team.
Oh, we love you.
We love you. A proud sponsor.
Proud sponsor. You're like, yeah, we're not going to sponsor these idiots.
Exactly.
But it allows them just tremendous speed, so they can just pop up on you.
Right.
You know, and then just disappear. And they would also have the, you know, you can look up images. They would also have like a, what is it, what do you call it?
A sail?
No.
Mast?
Two words. One syllable.
Things a monkey would wear.
But they would have on the front of their ship.
Oh, the stern?
Carved.
No. What is that called?
No, the stern is the back
of the ship. Oh, that's right.
We're
listen, obviously not nautical sailors.
Yeah, we're not sailors at all, if you couldn't tell at this point. Right. But they would also have a, on the front of their ship, like, carve a dragon's head.
Oh, gotcha.
And the significance of that was just their superstitions. They believed that it could just ward off danger.
Yeah. It was like a psychological threat, a little bit.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Just a little bit.
I'm running if you're pulling up on a ship with a dragon's head out front.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm done.
Bunch of crazies jumping off a ship, probably drugged up. I don't know.
Probably drugged up. Well, they did do a little bit of drugs. Didn't they do some magic mushrooms or something like that, you said?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Yes, they did, in fact, do magic mushrooms.
They were known as berserkers, and they were just... Think of it as kind of like a mercenary.
Yeah.
You hire them to do whatever you want, accompany you into battle or kill another person.
Yeah.
And there's actually evidence, like these little statues have been found of these berserkers like biting their shields.
Oh, geez.
And, you know, obviously if you're an archaeologist, you're like, what?
or just the average layman. You're just like, why the heck would they bite their shields?
But there was strong evidence that they would use like magic mushrooms and other, you know, psychedelics to go into battle with. And they actually found out that this, they were excavating a Viking burial site. and they found a Viking buried with his shield. And the shield actually had bite marks on it.
Dude, what?
Yeah. So they would basically just get all drugged up.
And eat their shields?
And, like, bite their shields. Some. I mean, not all.
Were they big? Were they big people? Because, I mean, when you think of a Viking, you think of 6'8". I mean, what's that guy, the world's strongest man? Hapthor? Literally, his name's Hapthor. His name's Hapthor. He was on Game of Thrones. He played the giant. The mountain. Yes.
Yeah. That literally just
giant mountain. Yeah. The guy who just smashed that guy's face.
The point is he was a big guy.
The point is
a big guy. Yeah. He's still alive.
Yeah. And like, I mean, it's kind of crazy too. I mean, we talk about how the Vikings, they kind of went to Iceland at one point, and you know, there's a lot of Icelandic people in the CrossFit games too. I'm not even gonna lie, like, I'm not trying to like stereotype or anything. I'm just saying, like,
as Joe Rogan would say, it's that Viking DNA, man.
Oh, really? Does he say that? Yeah. I mean, I think there is something to that though. Yeah. I mean, I think there is, like, I think it wouldn't be a far stretch to believe that they were these massive people that we think that they were, you know. Yeah. And
I mean, like, massive for their day.
Massive for their day. Yeah, because a lot of, I mean,
you know,
we're getting taller. That's all I know.
Yeah, that's all I know. Newsflash. People are getting taller.
Newsflash.
Why you should be concerned.
How
more
could this,
at 11.
How would this could affect you?
Yeah. So, anyway, so let's get into the notable Vikings.
Yeah, notable Vikings. Let's talk, who are these guys? You know, let's talk about a couple people who...
Because we're talking about, like, they had this exploration. Words are hard, man. I'm going to tell you. Explorer spirit to them.
Yeah.
You know, of going out there and, you know, making a better life for themselves.
Yeah, they look to the sea like we look to the stars today in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
So one of the famous Viking explorers is Eric the Red.
Okay.
And he's quoted for discovering America. Quoted. What am I even saying? Words are hard, man. He's famous for discovering America. And we're talking about like 4 centuries before Christopher Columbus.
Yeah.
And
nobody talks. Why do we talk about, like, why don't we ever mention him?
Wait. That was his son, Leif Erikson, that did.
Leif Erikson did. But he discovered Greenland or Newfoundland.
Yeah, he discovered Greenland. So, basically, he was motivated. He's known for having a temper.
Oh, Eric the Red? Is that why they called him the Red?
Well, he had red hair.
That's why. Oh. Are you
possibly
sure?
I don't know.
Eric the Red, did his face get red? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but he had a temper, and that got him in trouble a lot. And he got into a dispute with his neighbor or something. And
noise complaint. Apparently they had the TV up too loud.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. Something like that. And he was actually exiled from Iceland because they were like, dude, we don't want you here anymore. You literally killed your neighbor. Like,
oh, he killed his neighbor?
Yeah.
Oh, so he became like a fugitive, like, or what?
He was just exiled. He was just exiled. You know, like, we're done with you and your temper. Go,
tough beginnings.
Go die at sea or something.
Tough beginnings.
But he had heard stories of a landmast to the west of him, and so he set sail with a couple of his, you know, warriors and. They actually found Greenland.
Incredible.
And set sail, though. And the reason why they called it Greenland was because it was green.
Well, I mean, you know.
That's why they called Iceland.
We were flying back from Nepal. You could see Greenland.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a sheet of ice. I mean, it's white now.
Yeah.
But apparently at one point it was green.
Yeah.
Might need to work on doing a name change for that.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Definitely.
But
definitely.
So he finds Greenland, though, which is kind of like, kind of incredible.
Yeah. And so he goes back to Iceland.
Yeah.
And is like, hey, I found this mystical place.
Greenland.
Come join me. And he convinces I have no idea what the number is, but... he convinces people, and he's like, hey, come to Greenland, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you'll find when you research Scandinavian and all that is they're always looking for an opportunity to have a better life for themselves and their family.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which is kind of a universal
trait. But, I mean, when you're growing up with something at someplace in Scandinavia that's somewhat barren and there's not, the winters are rough, there's not a lot to do, it forces people to...
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be one thing if they're living in Costa Rica, you know,
yeah,
or Jamaica, you know, but they're living up in Scandinavia, you know, they're trying to get the heck out of here, you know? It's like all those people from Ohio, you know, everyone's like, nobody wants to, everyone's like, oh, I'm trying to go to California or Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to go somewhere warm and more opportunity.
We're talking about a time period where, you know, most Scandinavians didn't even live to see age 20.
Yeah. You gotta, if you're only living to 20, you gotta pack some crazy things in. You gotta get some mileage.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, like you gotta find a new civilization or a new place, you know, like Eric found Greenland.
So he convinces people and he actually sets up settlements in Greenland, and it grows to about 2,000, 3,000 inhabitants. So it's a very successful settlement.
Yeah.
For a lot of years. And tragically, he got bucked off of his horse.
Really?
And ended up dying.
There's too many ways to die back then.
Yeah.
You're either caught by a disease, everyone's getting caught by a disease, but he just gets tossed off his horse?
Yeah. Just some freak accident, you know? And
right.
So he dies. And so his son, Leif Erikson, because Eric the Red had heard of even more land masses, you know, even beyond Greenland.
Yeah.
And he was actually planning an expedition with his son, Leif Erikson. And then he just died suddenly because of this horse accident.
Yeah.
And so Leif Erikson goes over and decides that he's going to take up his father's legacy, go out.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of come up with his own claim to fame. And he actually found North America.
And this is like hundreds of years before
hundreds of years
Columbus.
Before Columbus. Like the Nova Scotia region.
Right, right.
And
it's
again, according to the the Viking naming system, simpler is better. So he finds Nova Scotia and he calls it Newfoundland.
Yeah.
You know, newfound land.
Right. clever. Yeah.
Not really original.
Not really original.
You would think, but not really.
I'm going to call it newfound land.
Now, the reason why he was kind of motivated to go over there and find this place is for wood.
Okay.
You know, kind of find other resources.
Yeah.
And he nicknamed it like Vinland because it had a lot of grapes, apparently.
Oh, really? Like a vineyard?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
But ironically enough, they never actually set up settlements there.
Really?
And that was part of the reason, because the natives were just so fierce.
The Native Americans?
Yeah. That were living in the area just...
What an odd... I never even knew that the Native Americans and the Vikings even had, like, a conflict back then.
Yeah, I mean, not that, like, just they were, like, at odds with each other. You know, like, here are these dudes from Europe showing up.
Right.
We're going to kill them to make an example.
yeah, seriously.
You know, of course, the Vikings are like, man, they're even more brutal than we are.
Yeah. Exactly.
So yeah, but interestingly enough, you're kind of wondering, well, how were they able to find the land?
They did
navigate, you know, by stars and stuff, but a popular tactic that they did was they would send out a raven.
Yeah.
And if the raven didn't come back, they knew that there was land somewhere.
Right. They knew that the raven must have landed somewhere on land, so that they were heading in the right direction, at least.
If it didn't come back, obviously,
yeah,
it, you know, Or, no, if it did come back, they obviously knew, like, hey, there's no land out there.
That's why. It's what anyone would do if they're trying to, you know, find a coffee shop in the area. You know, you don't hop on maps. You know, you send out a bird. If the bird doesn't come back, then he found a good coffee shop.
If the bird is dead, it's a no-go.
if the bird comes back, there are no coffee shops in the area.
Yeah. Another famous Viking is Rollo.
Rollo. Not to be confused with the terrific Hershey's candy bar.
Yeah. He actually founded that in 1845.
Founded the Rollo bar for Hershey Company.
So, reason why he's significant is he was a Viking warrior that led a number of successful raids in Europe. Mm-hmm. He was kind of a fierce dude.
Yeah, to say the least.
You know, not to mess with. And the reason why he's significant is because he sailed to attack Paris, but the attacks were fended off by Charles III the Simple.
Yeah.
But he kept raiding that area of France. And in a lot of cases, kings would actually pay off Vikings.
Just to get them out of there.
Just to kind of bribe them. To go home, of course, you know.
Yeah.
They never listened.
Here's some money.
Here's some money. Just go shoo away. So he's laying siege to Paris and attacking it, but he's fended off. And so he enters a peace treaty.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Charles III of France. And part of that treaty agreed to give him a portion of land in France, and so that became Normandy.
Yeah. And that's like near the beach.
And he ruled over it he was the first Viking king in Europe.
Yeah, dude. And you know, the thing is, I mean, I remember bringing up this question when we were talking about this in our overview or in our review session. Mm-hmm. And for those of you, we do have a review session. So the one question that came up for me is like, how did these guys not conquer the world? You know, like, how are we not seeing the Vikings conquer the world? And in a lot of ways, they kind of did. You know, I mean, you talk about Eric the Red and Leif Erikson mm-hmm. founding, you know, Western civilization, and King Rollo setting up being the first king of Europe. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like,
but that trend would continue. Not to throw you off your train of thought.
No, go ahead. Yeah,
would continue. It's spelled Cnut, and I think it's pronounced Newt.
Okay.
He was the first Viking king of England.
Really?
Yeah.
You know,
and if you look at a map of just England, especially like northern England, not really southern.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those towns are actually like were settlements set up by Viking, you know, named after Viking.
Yeah.
You know, so there's like an imprint there.
Yeah.
Like
they did leave somewhat of a mark, you know, they did have these like Viking kingdoms, and it's just kind of crazy mm-hmm. to think that these guys did not have like some kind of land empire. Cause I always wonder, you know, what if some of these places like the Vikings and like, you know, these Native American tribes like banded together under one name, under one, mm-hmm. you know, kingdom, and then create some kind of an empire, you know?
Yeah. If you go, especially Eastern Europe, because they would raid Eastern Europe as well. And you look at a people called the Kievan Rus.
Yeah.
Which were the forerunners to modern day Russians.
Really?
And they had kind of their own kingdom, kind of like a, not really an empire, but like their own kingdom. Now, this thing that separates them from their Viking forefathers is they converted to Christianity, the Eastern Orthodox.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, especially with Viking traders, because, you know, their reputation preceded them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So not a lot of foreign merchants would want to trade.
Yeah.
With these Viking merchants. And that just goes back to, you know, Christians trade with Christians. You know, you don't trade with pagans.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what they would do, you know, is when they were trying to trade in Europe, is they would don Christian symbols, you know.
To kind of try to assimilate in a way?
Yeah, yeah, or appear to be Christian.
Yeah.
And so that they could trade with people.
Survive.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, once they returned home, they would just, you know, take it off.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of Vikings did convert to Christianity.
Right, right.
For trading reasons and also because of their settlements, you know, like living, trying to assimilate
right,
with the rest
right.
of Europe.
Right.
You know? And.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, well, I mean,
it's
like.
Crazy.
I mean, it is kind of crazy. I mean, and even like to think about like. I got a couple burning questions in my head, even mm-hmm. just thinking about, you know, what if the Vikings, I mean, what would the Vikings look like if they didn't live in a place like Scandinavia that was so barren? You know, what if the English lived in Scandinavia and the Vikings lived on England? You know, I mean, we're talking about a whole new bunch of possibilities. I mean, yeah. It's amazing what they even accomplished in Scandinavia. Building those ships and venturing mm-hmm. out, but what if they were even more strategically placed in an area that just had loads of resources? You know, you think sometimes like some of these nations get a little, mm-hmm. you know, the short end of the stick. You know, like they're blessed with this great innovation, but they're kind of you know, cursed with the area that they're living in a way.
I don't know. I mean, I think it all goes back to. You know, if the area was politically unstable.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of people, this was years later, like the Puritans would flee to North America.
Right, right.
Because they were being religiously persecuted.
Right.
I mean, there's a wide variety of reasons why you would migrate. You know, it's either forced or you just have an explorer's spirit to go out there and
you gotta have some kind of motivation. Something mm-hmm. is motivating you to keep you on that path.
Yeah. And you know, in the case of Rollo, is he just didn't want to play by the rules, like and just left.
Yeah.
And he, you know, starts this kingdom, and his descendant would be William the Conqueror.
Yeah.
For when the Normans went back to England and conquered it.
Yeah. So he conquered England.
Yeah.
At one point.
William the Conqueror,
William the Conqueror did.
And, you know, now we also get this image that, you know, These Vikings were lawless, but they actually held a
moral code of some kind.
Moral code and kind of valued law and order.
Yeah.
A bit.
In an odd way.
In an odd way.
In their own way, really.
Yeah. So, you know, when disputes would happen, they would hold, they would convene with the king. The king was like the judge.
Yeah.
So he's going to judge everything. But, you would basically state your case,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, and ironically enough, well, not ironically, but interestingly enough, is that when William the Conqueror took the throne of England, he established court systems for disputes.
Yeah.
And that would lay down the framework for, you know, now as a modern courtroom.
Really?
Yeah.
So they kind of had their own little, like, impromptu court scene.
Yeah. You know, because disputes would always, of course, you want to squash them if you're a king.
Yeah.
So that there's not, so right. you're in control, basically.
Right, right, right.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Just interesting, interesting stuff.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, they...
Because you would think, oh, they're just a bunch of godless pagans, you know, going around.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, they're just like these, like, marauders. They kind of pop up out of nowhere. Just, mm-hmm. you know, they're savages, barbarian. Mm-hmm. But one thing that has been a common thread throughout these episodes and throughout really this, like, journey we've been on with mm-hmm. discovering history and what its impact is today, and like we get a very clouded view sometimes about mm-hmm. these people and events, and honestly to our own ignorance judge certain groups of people from the past, you know, mm-hmm. because we have this like preconceived mm-hmm. stereotype that's been, you know, kind of yeah. like pushed on us through, you know, movies, TV, mm-hmm. You know, things like that. Like one thing, which is, I thought was even interesting, just small things too, you know, like you see like Thor, you know, the Marvel character, you know, and he's got, in the comic books, he's got a horned helmet, doesn't he?
I think it's a winged helmet.
Is it wings or a horn?
Well, that brings up an interesting thing. The Vikings did not wear horned helmets.
They didn't even have horns on their helmets.
There was no, in fact, even having a helmet, it was more of like a status thing. Anything.
Only the rich ones had helmets,
yeah,
right?
Only rich ones had helmets and would wear them into battle.
And what did most of them have? Just kind of a shield and an axe?
Yeah, yeah. So basically, it was just a shield and an axe. But if you were wealthier, you would have a sword.
Yeah.
And this sword would be adorned with, you know, different engravings of runes. And runes to the Vikings were a sacred, mystical alphabet.
Yeah.
That they would use that would grant them, you know, some runes grant protection, other runes would bring about curses, yeah. things like that.
Yeah. So and it was almost like a form of like spiritual warfare, quote unquote, for them, because it was what they believed, kind of like how what's his name and the Native American who would paint himself
Crazy Horse
yeah. would paint himself, you know, paint these dots all over him, white dots to protect him, and he ran his horse all the way through enemy lines. I imagine, you know, the horse freaking wait, whoa, what are we doing, buddy? Hey, buddy.
I can't believe you're my owner. You almost got me killed like 30 times this month.
I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, and you know, you find that a lot really in like military history. These, you know, cultures would institute some of these like spiritual mm-hmm. you know, painting themselves or something, because it would give them some kind of sense of protection and things like that. And you know, and the thing about the Viking horns on their helmets is I mean, even if they did have horns on their helmets, that would be insanely impractical, you know.
Yeah,
because I mean, what,
because somebody could just like grab the horn and instantly have control over your body, basically.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you look at like people getting face masks in the NFL and it's like you take someone's face mask, it's like, I mean, there's a reason why there's a flag for that. Yeah, you know, I mean, you can just like basically throw somebody around.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so
I think it's just fascinating that they, I mean, this is just literally a blip in history. Yeah. 3 centuries.
Yeah,
not that historically, you know, when we talk about history, not that long of a time period.
Yeah, yeah, and
they accomplished so much.
Yeah, I would say discovering America is a pretty big accomplishment. Yeah. for 3 centuries.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, and it didn't even take it didn't even take Columbus hundreds of years later to even venture, and he mm-hmm. found America. He wasn't even looking for it in the first place.
Yeah,
you know, these guys, they knew something was out there. They had heard mm-hmm. that something was out there. They knew that, you know, you find Greenland, and he's even hearing that there's even further civilizations, you know, and ends up finding, you know, Nova Scotia. And,
mm-hmm. and just to have the courage,
yeah,
to even set sail,
yeah,
to go find these places that you've just heard about.
Yeah, it's amazing to think about their ships, mm-hmm, as well. You know, you talk about their ships and how, I mean, this is the 800s. This is, mm-hmm, the 800s. You know, I know the Egyptians, I'm sure, had crazy ships, I'm pretty sure, right? But they never, yeah, ventured anywhere. I mean, they stayed by the Nile, you know? I mean, they didn't, at least,
well,
right?
There is, ironically enough, I guess not ironically enough, but they have found a Egyptian tomb in Australia.
And oh, really?
Evidence, because of the petroglyphs of the indigenous peoples, oh, in Australia, that they interacted at one point.
Yeah. You know? Wow. That is really crazy.
Yeah. Same thing with the Chinese.
They
left and basically discovered the west coast of the United States. I mean,
wow.
You know, just to have that spirit, just be like, you know what? We're going to push.
Kind of like
what's beyond known.
Kind of like, you know, with Alexander the Great, that's kind of what it became. It turned into this, like, how far can we go? You know, like, how, what else is out there? We are farther than any. There's this quote in Interstellar, you know, when Anne Hathaway's like, you know, like we've ventured out further than any humans in history, you know, like, and we think we put that context of space travel always, especially nowadays, you know, mm-hmm, but back then it's like that was their space travel, you know, mm-hmm, we didn't have a huge understanding of where we were, mm-hmm, in the universe, let alone on the globe, you know, but to even just push further and further and venture out, mm-hmm, it's kind of inspiring, honestly, to think, like, you know, the bravery, like you said, you know, to take those ships. It really shows you the durability and, mm-hmm, the ingenuity of those ships that were able to take them to places they never even thought would be possible to go. Yeah. So,
and the thing is there, you know, the motivation to do so was just out of bettering their lives, their families' lives.
Yeah, generations down the line.
Whether it be through raiding or trading.
Yeah.
You know, and to just try to, you know, there are, and this is just how far their trade network went.
Mm-hmm.
They were uncovering in a Viking cemetery, you know, or no, this was in Birka, that huge trading center.
Right, right.
They were doing archaeological digs and found a little statue of Buddha.
Oh, that's right.
You know, so that just goes to show that they had trading networks that connected halfway around the globe.
Yeah, yeah. And this is honestly, I mean, because we were talking about this with Genghis Khan, and Genghis Khan was hundreds of years later who established that trade, that series. I mean, the Silk Road was already in place, but he really, you know, kind of did Silk Road 2.0 in a lot of ways, like, and really used it to his advantage. And, you know, we're talking about back in the 800s, you know, and, you know, to think like that. To have an archaeological discovery and find a statue of Buddha and think, mm-hmm, oh my gosh, well, these guys must have went way farther than we thought.
Yeah, because your first thought upon finding that is, how did this get here?
Yeah, like, how did this get here?
You know,
it must have been traded with.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only logical explanation.
Yeah. Just one of, you know, doing this research. I know we kind of got off script a little bit. We're kind of talking. But just to know that they just went,
mm-hmm,
farther. I mean, they,
yeah,
you know, when we're talking about the Middle Ages and, you know, all of that knowledge of Greco-Roman society, you know, gets lost.
Right, right.
You know, and, but for them to kind of still have that drive,
yeah
when most of Europe is still trying to recover from not having the Roman Empire around anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they were just kind of the ones to be to say, let's do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway. So. And again, I know we kind of got off script. We're just like talking here.
Hey, man, they don't have a copy of the script.
Yeah.
This is the script.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, man, that kind of covers it. You know, that kind of wraps up the Vikings. And again,
you know, we encourage you to do your own research.
Yeah, we hope it really sparks some interest in, you know, checking it out for yourself, you mm-hmm. know, seeing what you like about the Vikings or seeing what, yeah. you know, maybe you didn't know that we never even covered in this yeah. podcast.
Because I would describe us as not even being armchair historians, just, you know, just two guys that have an interest in history and
yeah,
kind of, you know, that's always been the goal of the podcast.
We're trying to bring it back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Trying to bring back the fascination. It is important.
You know, I grew up in a school and, you know, going into a history class and, you know, all the other students around me were like, well, why do we have to go to a history class? Why is this a thing?
Mm-hmm.
And what we try to do is be like, well, it is important because it connects back to
yeah.
a lot of stuff that is even going on today.
Yeah, I mean, exploration is even, I mean, even not even from a Viking standpoint, but just from exploration and history, the history yeah. of exploration, we are always exploring and always advancing forward yeah. and utilizing our skills to, you know, I mean, the Vikings had a skill set to make those ships the way they did, mm-hmm. and look how far it took them, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, what if we mastered the perfect rocket ship? You know, and or, then,
yeah, that's,
I mean, we're already basically, is, yeah,
you know,
a re-landable rocket.
Yeah. To make it, you know, more, I mean, to make
pretty
it
crazy,
make it cheaper.
Make anyway, it cheaper.
Anyway,
but that's the Low Bros History Podcast. And, you know, we like to keep a lot of resources on our blog. So check out mm-hmm. the lowbroshistoryblog.com and look at our resources page, because we got plenty of books on there that we've used as research and also used as just because we're interested and just want to check it out some more. So,
yeah, the book that we used, you can actually find this for free.
Yeah, it's actually for free on...
if you have...
Apple Books. Yeah, Apple Bookstore.
It's called The Vikings, Explore the Exciting History of the Viking Age and Discover Some of the Most Feared Warriors, History Combat. It's basically called that.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a long name.
I can see why it's free.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
But
we'll end the podcast with burning questions.
With burning questions? What burning questions you got?
Burning questions / water cooler talk.
Water cooler talk. Who are you talking about? You know, I mean, where does a Viking rank on top warriors of all time? You know, I mean, if we're talking about
top 10.
Okay, here we go. Here's a fun one. Okay, we're talking about Mount Rushmore here. Okay, we're talking about Mount Rushmore of fierce warriors. We got, I mean, just to throw some names out there, you know, you got the Vikings, Mongols. You got the Romans, you got the Mongols.
Yeah.
Dare I say the United States military of World War II.
That was a good one.
Okay. How about that? The 101st Airborne Division.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, they're easily in the top 10.
The Screaming Eagles.
Yeah. Come on, man.
So
you always gotta respect the troops.
You gotta respect the troops. So I mean, you know, I mean, even just to throw some more names out there, you know, you're thinking about Native Americans, the Apaches,
mm-hmm.
Samurai,
yeah.
The Spartans.
Yep.
You know, so I mean, what kind of what gets you going? If we're talking about Mount Rushmore, you know.
I'm gonna go with the samurai.
Samurai.
I like the samurai.
You know, and we'll have to probably do like a samurai podcast too to explore some of that history.
But a burning question that I have for you.
Okay.
What if the Viking Age lasted longer than 3 centuries?
Yeah, dude. I know.
What would they, what, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, would they have accomplished more?
Yeah.
Would they have more successful settlements?
Right. I think they would. I think they would, honestly, because you think about what they accomplished in 3 centuries, mm-hmm. exploring all the way, finding North America
mm-hmm.
4 centuries before Columbus, even more. Maybe, I think maybe like 500 years before Columbus.
Probably even more.
And, you think about the accomplishments they had, their tactics with their ships, utilizing their skills, establishing kingdoms, and venturing all the way across the Atlantic Ocean at a time where that's just where we're talking about a time where that landmass was a myth to a lot of people.
Yeah.
People were like, does it even exist? Mm-hmm. You know, we're like, we don't even know what's out there. You know, I mean, you could be sailing for months and never and just never find anything.
Land on I'd be like Gilligan's Island or something.
I know. I think they would have accomplished more. I think it would have been interesting to see what could have been accomplished.
Another burning question I have, do you think that the American dream was kind of, and by American dream, I'm just talking about self-improvement.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, does that have any relation to why the Vikings wanted to leave, you know? I mean, I think so.
I think so, too. I mean, you think about people who have immigrated from other countries, and even at Ellis Island, you know, the great, like, immigration, you know, like, people are looking to get out of to get out of a place that has limited opportunity. It's like ingrained in like who we are, you know. And you even think about Manifest Destiny out west, and that the cities are getting crowded. When things get crowded, when things get like barren, you know, everyone's like, you know, what's out there, you know?
Yeah.
So I mean, I think it's,
I mean, that we're American talking
a dream is there.
I mean, around the Viking age, 800s, I mean, we're talking about a time period in which there was a strict, in Europe, caste system.
Right.
Like, if you were born a serf, you were going to live a serf for the rest of your life, and your children will be serfs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then, but, you know, with the Vikings, it's like they weren't content with being, you know.
Yeah.
Whether it be a certain level of social standing or their lifestyle, like they wanted more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Weren't satisfied with the little they had. They knew that there was something out there
and wanted to gain notoriety, wealth, you know,
fame, riches and glory.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of goes, well, it, you know, it is that, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, they were the ones that dared.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, everybody else in Europe, it's
kind of fighting
a strict social structure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't get out of it. Even if you, you know, even when you die, you're still going to be
born a slave, die a slave.
Yeah. The untouchables, you know.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
But here are the Vikings, and they just, they didn't really buy into that.
Yeah, no, they kind of made it what they needed it to be.
Yeah, it's like, you know, that's why, like, when we talk about, like, Viking society, and it wasn't really a feudal system.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, in the case of Rollo, he just didn't want to play ball by the king's, just left and just started, like, all right.
Left and started his own thing.
You know. It's kind of like that Henry Avery quote, you know, I'm a man of fortune, therefore I must seek my fortune.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just not being content with.
Yeah. Always knowing that there's something more out there that you can achieve. You know, the sky's the limit. The sky is, look, if we leave you with anything, kids, it's the sky is the limit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Think about Eric the Red. Take the plunge.
Yeah.
You know, maybe get lost at sea. Maybe find America. I don't know.
I don't know.
That's up for you to decide.
Yeah.
But
just keep your temper in check, because that guy apparently had a temper that was...
Just don't get exiled from your home country.
Yeah, just didn't have good bedside manner at all.
Yeah.
I mean, that is crazy, to be exiled from your home country, or, you know, from a country because of your temper.
Because of your temper, because you got that bad of a temper that nobody in an entire country wants to hang out with you.
They're like, no, go leave, die at sea, do something. And we're talking
about a group of people who murdered a bunch of monastery monks who were the most peaceful people.
Yeah, that's the other thing. My God, that's
it was kind
thing.
Of a it was kind of a backwards
yeah
law
we're okay
system
with, you know. we're okay with raiding and pillaging and killing innocent, defenseless people, but...
But don't get in my face, man, or else we'll send you to another country.
Send you to another country. Yeah, they must have been relieved when he came back.
Yeah, they must have been definitely relieved.
Oh, thank God, he found Greenland. He's going to just go over there.
He's got his own country, we got ours. We'll see you next time. I'm Henry Lowe.
And I'm Jacob Lowe.
And this is the Lowe Bros History Podcast.
Bruise some of the faces from the past. Not that different from you, are they? Bruise some of the faces from the past. Bruise some of the faces from the past. You've walked past them many times. They're not that different from you, are they?
They believe they're destined for great things. Just like many of you, their eyes are full of hope.